Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Your Freedom Hubs presenting the Free Market Cash Patient Webinar Series. I'm your host, Jeff Cantor, along with Charles Frohman. This is sponsored by Your Freedom Hub. And at the same time, this is also recorded and also available every Sunday. These are posted. And just to give you a quick look-see, so you'll be able to jot these down. These are all case-sensitive links for the websites. And there's some really great stuff on here. Just as a quick diversion, you'll see there's a huge quantity of these over time, some of the popular channels were on here, so you'll see we got some highly viewed ones and so on, so you're going to want to come in here. And again, here we are sponsored by the Hub. So today, though, we're going to really kind of dig into something really interesting, because again, the big challenge is, you know, now people are starting to become cash patients.
Thanks, Jeff, and I'll introduce our guest, Dr. Hennessy, who is CEO of Prattr, which uses reference-based pricing to figure out what healthcare really costs. He was vice president of musculoskeletal billing and ran a physician practice before that. So he has a long background in the medical field. And like so many innovators, he grew frustrated with the lack of price, which you need to serve as a signal for a market to really work. So we're excited to hear what Bill has to say, Jeff.
Fantastic.
Well, good evening and happy Prattr Day to all of you. Prattr does mean price matters. I am Dr. Bill Hennessy. And cash price is a very good price for care. And as a physician who owns a medical billing company, who has founded a medical cost savings and transparency company, I'm well aware that it can be very confusing to purchase healthcare. It can be intimidating. The first thing I did when founding Prattr is realize there's a difference between healthcare and health insurance. Insurance is for the financial catastrophe we cannot afford. In the health world, that means an inpatient hospitalization or cancer diagnosis, most commonly. What we are referring to tonight is routine care, outpatient care, or commodity care. All three of those are used interchangeably by me as a clinician and as a medical businessman. That means things like a doctor visit, blood work, imaging, urgent care, and even surgery center care items. Most people don't realize that a cataract or a carpal tunnel surgery is only 5 minutes, and most of the GI scopes occur in 15 minutes or less. Routine care, major differences in pricing if you're not paying attention. So I'm logged in right now or looking at our home screen on Prattr, which means price matters. What I want to do is scroll down, and so if anyone forgets what I said, they can look it up at their own leisure. Under our search and save engine, we have 1 billion Medicare claims searchable at the baseline. And we do have some carrier data too, a lot, but we have the most in Medicare. As I scroll down here, we explain to you what a charge is and what a claim allowable is. If we went to the mall, the charge means the retail price. When we go buy a shirt, that's the price on the rack. When we take the shirt off the rack and we go to purchase it and there's a discount real price paid, that's what a claim allowable is. The real discount price paid. And every care item has 4 different numbers, 4 different money numbers. 1 through 4 is priced high to low. The charge is known as the retail rate. The claim allowable is referred to as the carrier discount. Commonly that would be Blue Shield, United, Cigna, or Aetna. And those carrier discounts often are not that good. They still permit 1,000% pricing variation commonly for the same care item in the same city, in the same network. And then three is cash, and four is Medicare. Medicare is the single largest payer of health care in the United States. It's accepted just about everywhere. So therefore, it is considered a baseline gold standard. If anybody wonders, well, why does cash have to be higher than Medicare? The answer is this: taxpayer dollar has to have best advantage, or else it's fraud. I'm okay with that. It'd be nice to see good use of our tax dollars. And so you got two options here. The current way for routine health care done by most is a top-down approach. That means the medical providers, especially hospitals, have really high charges. And so a discount off of that by an insurance company still has you paying an awful lot. A bottom-up cash price approach is better. Take Medicare and then add a certain amount. That could be 20% more for a doctor visit, or 30% more for surgery center care or imaging center care. Hospitals generally aren't going to accept that. You need to get to about 180% of Medicare before most will accept it. And then the next question is how do we access the Medicare pricing? We do put some things out on forms of social media for common care items. And you know, our clients have full access to our search engine. So I'm gonna proceed to our search engine unless there's any questions or comments right now. Here's the search engine. I put in a large city. Here's Houston. We can change the miles radius. And if a person needed an abdominal CT, we're able to show you what the charge is. That's the retail amount. This has a price tag guarantee. That means we have a signed deal. It's $325 for an abdominal CT at Green Imaging. All in, including the interpretation. An excellent deal. As we scroll down, you see the numbers on the left get bigger. These are charges. On the right is what Medicare really pays as fee for service to the facility. And so you can see here, Memorial Hermann Rehab Hospital gets paid $270 for an abdominal CT. What we're tallying here, though, is the range. You got roughly $270 to maybe $300 for a CT. Even if we peg that at the high end, that's a lot less than the carrier discounts. Right here, I'm showing that Houston Methodist St. John Hospital gets paid $2,502 by Blue Shield. That's called a discount off of their $4,861 price. Ballpark, Blue Shield would be bragging they have a 50% discount, but you'd be paying $2,500. At $300, roughly, let's go ahead and add to that at an independent imaging center another 25%, another 20 to 30%, somewhere in there. Roughly bump $300 up to $400, even $500. You're still going to get a much better deal than with a carrier network. So we have the three gets at Prater. Get your price, get your provider, then get your care. I repeat, get your price, get your provider, then get your care. If we don't have the specific price here for your facility you're considering, the key is $270 to $300 is very common payment by Medicare for an abdominal CT. Now, who's most likely to take that type of pricing if we bumped it up, especially toward $400? The answer is those that are on our money map. And so we say, who's on the money map? The answer is, generally speaking, not the hospitals. They have the highest facility fees. So if we go away from the hospitals to independent imaging centers, and we click on a Google marker to show our imaging centers, now we see all of the better price places that are in your neighborhood. You call them up. We have the phone number there, the websites when available, and ask, what's your best cash price? In your head, you now know $400 or less is a great deal. If that's their best cash price, you take it. If it's higher than that by perhaps $100 or $200, offer to pay the $400 for the abdominal CT in cash at the time of service. You're very likely to get a yes at these imaging providers. If someone says no, move on to the next one. Again, in general, you'll have better luck away from hospitals than with hospitals, but even hospitals will do some negotiation. You gotta speak with someone in medical billing. This logic applies to, we protect you at all these categories for blood work, imaging, surgery, and urgent care centers where the care items can be looked up. So this is now, again, get your price, get your provider, and get your care. The way we see it at Prater is your relationship with your primary care doctor is invaluable. We don't interfere with it. We don't want to interfere with any hospitalization. That's really what insurance is for. But when you need routine care, there's very likely a chance it's going to be a facility fee involved for blood work, imaging, surgery, or urgent care center. And this is where we want you to identify providers that are going to be friendly and give you that cash price. The other item I could potentially bring up here too is, maybe you're listening to me now and this could help you settle a claim where you know what to pay and you don't want to pay the egregious carrier price you can't afford and you just want to settle up with a medical provider. I also refer to this as surprise medical billing. We went back to the homepage under Learn More, Consumer Tips. We have one on the surprise hospital bill, how to deal with it. We go over prevention, and then we go over how to deal with one. You got it? And then lastly, what if the hospital is sending you to collections? What are your legal rights and how should you handle yourself? I don't want to recite all of this, but I'm saying it's free advice at prater.us under consumer tips. Importantly, since the year 2010 was the Affordable Care Act, section 2718, it states that hospitals in specific must tell you their charges, their retail price for care before you get your care. If they did not, they are not permitted to hold you financial hostage and perform predatory billing. So we use that ACA section 2718 to tell hospitals for our clients, they're a federal outlaw. They're not going to be getting paid their predatory surprise billing dollar figure as they have failed to be compliant with federal law. You heard it. This is how you get your cash price, folks.
Bill, that was quite good. One thing to just kind of set a little bit of the context or the tone here. What is it that suddenly made you decide you had to do this? I mean, when did you kind of reach a breaking point, or what did happen to you that suddenly made you get up and start making this happen?
Well, there's the feel good side of me, and then there's the fight side of me. The feel good side of me. I put in 80-hour work weeks for about the past 25 years. So I'm a doctor. I also own the billing company, and I understand the whole business of medicine. I call those three skill sets when combined. I just don't know who else has them. So I do believe we're called to serve others, and I'm going to use my skill sets to make a difference in the world. I want to see every American have affordable access to care. On the side that might not be considered quite as pretty, I just think that we need to see the hospitals and the carriers behave more ethically and kindly toward all of us and see that they have a responsibility to help us and not just stock shareholders. And so I want to put them in check and on notice that we at Pratter have the capability of growing also into a multi-billion dollar industry, but one that's actually helping people and leveraging membership to get better prices for everyone. The opposite is occurring in today's status quo world.
Exactly, because it's not like as everyone suddenly started to figure out that the quality of the care we've got is pretty good overall. It's getting to it that's the challenge. So, Charles, I see you got your hand up.
Thanks, Jeff and Dr. Hennessy. Great presentation. Could you describe a typical client and how do you get paid in the process and what benefit do they get?
Right now, we have focused on the self-insured market. That would be self-insured employers and self-insured unions. The reason is they have access to all of the very medical bills that they paid. Their problem is they can't understand them. Pratter takes them, puts it through a 20-step process, and makes it second grade easy for them to understand their cost drivers. Now they can improve their health plan design. They can even improve the way claims are paid for cost drivers. They can do some direct provider contracting. So basically what we talk for doing with an individual consumer tonight, we can do that for an entire organization. If they knew where a lot of their members were going, now we can focus on getting them results for their cost drivers by negotiating payments, by knowing here's what Medicare pays and here's what the carrier pays, and we're gonna fall somewhere in between. And every time our employees or union members go through those doors, it's gonna be at a better price tag. And then what we give each employee or union member is money incentive. That means when they go to places on the money map, they either get free care, meaning waiver of copay and co-insurance, or we have credit cards, debit cards. They get paid to get care. They take a smartphone picture of a receipt and we push money out to them within 1 to 2 business days and they can use it anywhere, visas accepted. So our strategy is sound in that no one can prevent us from getting access to pricing data. And our secret sauce is making it easy to understand all of the pricing structure.
Very nice.
Yeah, per member, per month pricing is how we do it for those. Again, we're trying to partner with a couple national, I'm going to call them alternative health plans, AHPs, meaning someone other than the four large insurance companies. There's plenty of other health plans out there that we can partner with who want to do the right thing, who just need to be empowered to do the right thing.
And we're that's there for good. Them. Yeah, and it's good because that gives them the ability to grow that activity. So that's very good. Paul, I see you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, a great presentation. And I was at the website. Everything is looks very streamlined and easy to use. The question I would have, you know, as we all know, there's a lot of profit motives within the healthcare system. Have you encountered any pushback or do you see any obstacles moving forward, you know, with the system that you have?
You're basically saying who's against Pratter? And right. And so the answers at this point generally would be the majority of hospitals. Some of the smaller community hospitals are now actually wanting to partner with us to show what great prices they have for routine care compared to the more expensive ones. The four large insurance companies are not blowing us kisses either. And their 1099 or large brokers that are publicly traded, like an Aon that just bought Willis Towers, does not want to talk to us. Just keeping the secret pricing scandal going is what they want to do. But when we expose over a billion price tags in the country and we've created a Medicare fee-for-service schedule for other national brokerage firms and health plan TPAs as we're engaging in this year, it's game over. In fact, we already have a carrier schedule. We could tell you the national average that Blue Shield, United, Cigna, and Aetna pay per CPT five-digit billing code for the majority of the 10,000 billing codes and what they pay hospitals and what they pay doctors. Guess what that means? We don't need any networks. We're going to call ourselves the No Network Network.
Yeah, I like it as a bypass. I do. You know, and who could really stop you? I mean, you know, they may frown upon it or whatever, but doesn't mean that they'll necessarily stop you. So, yeah, good job.
Well, plus, once that pricing gets out there, that's really going to be hard to stop because now people know there are other prices. So it's going to definitely be disruptive, which is what we try to uncover here at the call here on this Wednesday evening. Mark, I see you've got your hand up there.
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Absolutely. Bill, you mentioned the code for being out of compliance with the ACA. I can be very quick and specific. I have a son, an adult son, who recently had an ambulance bill of over $1,000 when he was told he would only have to pay $100. So I want to use that code. Can you give it to me again?
Sure. Did you say, was it an in-network or out-of-network ambulance ride also?
It was an in-network ambulance ride.
I was almost hoping it was out-of-network. I'll tell you why in a second.
So oh, I understand why.
No, it's free on our website there under consumer tips, but I'll tell you right now, it is ACA Public Health Service Act, section 2718.
Okay.
Now, I've been asked that question too, in versus out of network. The statistic is this: if you're in the regular carrier insurance world, 1 in 5 claims is denied. And we know there are situations where, the surgeon's in network and the anesthesiologist is out. The doctor's in network, the hospital's out, or vice versa. And I get calls of panic. What do I do? This doctor was out of network. And my first question is, did the doctor tell you his prices? No. Did the doctor give you a legal contract to sign about the fee-for-service arrangement? No. I said, congratulations, you just got free care. If that would go to court, first thing a judge would do is say, where's the contract? We'd have to say there wasn't any. He was being sneaky and didn't tell us that he wasn't in network, and now he's participating in predatory billing without a legal agreement, Your Honor. It never gets that far, because all you do is point out, you don't have a contract, you can't do anything.
Always some good actionable information here too. Let's see who else has got their hand up yet tonight. I want to kind of add to the realities of paying cash out there in the real world.
Yeah, we say at Prater, don't be bullied. Be the bull.
There you go. I'm not sure who the actual person is here. It says Princess's iPhone. That sounds intriguing.
Jeff, forgive me. It's Massey Meredith.
Ah.
I'm borrowing my wife's iPad, so forgive me.
That's fine.
Bill, very good presentation. I'm curious as to whether you have gotten any traction with either Aon or Mercer or Marsh or Willis or Gallagher on any of their employer clients. In other words, have you got one consultant with any of those firms who said, I need to take this to my client, the corporate client?
We are about to with Arthur J. Gallagher, known affectionately as AJG. So that answer is almost a yes. That will happen, I do believe, in Q2. As for the other ones, and I have acronyms, I call them WAM, Willis Towers Aon Mercer. The answer is goose egg.
Well, I'm working with Mercer and Aon. I mean, I don't want to bore everybody else, but yeah, they're all in the back pocket of the carriers, which you already know. But I think, I mean, I've talked to some large employers, you know, over 5,000 covered lives, and they're saying, very interesting. I need to talk to my consultant about that, don't I?
Well,
the consultants drive it.
Yeah, in many states, they've, be candid, have put up a block to keep us out. We would offer too much value for too low a price to the disappointment of their stock shareholders, which is their fiduciary. And for those large three, now it's large two. As you know, Aon purchased Willis Towers for $30 billion with a B. It's I'm going to call a last ditch effort to try to keep the status quo. They're going to probably buy a book of business and let a bunch of the Willis Tower employees go. And I'm not wishing anybody to be laid off, but I can't see that business transaction going down differently. Typically in the self-insured world, I can tell you the national average is about $12,000 per employee per year for a health plan. So for a 10,000 life case, you're paying $120 million blindly. And everybody wants proof of business concept. I said, it's right there. It's staring you in the face. If you pay your medical bills without looking at them, and then after you pay them, you still don't look at them, you're going to pay more next year than you did this year. Proof of business concept has been established. We changed.
That's right.
You manage, we measure. We'll tell you every name of every provider for every cost driver.
Have you had any success at all at getting a conversation with the CFOs of these companies, or is HR, completely blocking you?
Well, HR would attempt to completely block us. Therefore, we speak with the CFOs. That's that kind of money I just spoke about is not within the expertise of HR. You're talking $12,000 a person a year on average. That's the kind of money that the CFO needs to be paying attention to.
So you got their attention, and are they willing to kind of override what HR has been telling them?
Well, this is something new. I don't like to say the word override. We're happy to cooperate with HR, but when this is much money's at stake, this is a money decision. This is a CFO or COO type of decision.
Have you had any HR directors say, hey, we need to seriously consider this, Bill?
No, that's my answer, no. Hey, if you want a deal to die, I don't care who you are. It's pretty much going to be legal or HR. Those are two departments great at making deals die. We're all about helping people gain affordable access to care, so we're just going to keep talking to the CFOs. And with the unions, we're going to keep talking to the business managers, and they're very receptive. Eventually the rest will come around, right? We have leaders, we got followers.
Bill, great work. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it, and thank you very much for this presentation.
Quite welcome. Thanks for your interest.
Thanks, Meredith. All right, let's see if we got some other questions here yet for this evening. Bill, with what's been going on with this corona situation, is this going to actually help accelerate your business? Are you one of the ones that's going to benefit from this dilemma?
Well, it's prevented me from getting some very large face-to-face meetings in Dallas and Houston I had next week. So it's probably just going to postpone it, right? I mean, me and you can do a $100 deal tonight over the phone, but if we're going to do a $1 million deal, you're probably going to want to meet me, size me up and have a comfort level. So that part's getting delayed. Look, this is going to come and go like every other virus. It's going to leave just like the flu season. A week ago, 16,000 people died from the flu in the United States, according to the CDC. At that point, it was like 32 lives where it was a contributing factor for the coronavirus. So, sure, let's take it seriously, but let's also put some perspective on it. it's going to be a temporary a delay, I think, for a lot of businesses getting something done. I'll put a Pratter spin on it, though. We're about pricing. So do we test people or not, and what's the cost? Well, I do know that there is now a CPT code for coronavirus testing. I also know that we have a large database where the Medicare price for testing for the flu virus, known as influenza, pays $17. For Blue Shield, nationally, they pay for the flu virus test $87. Those are two reference points. So I would expect something similar on a reimbursement for the coronavirus test.
Charles Ford, I see you have your hand up.
Okay, yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, well, thank you. It's great to speak with you, Dr. Hennessy, and I appreciate all that you're doing. It's fantastic.
Thanks.
A couple of points I wanted to raise just for general discussion. Number one is the agent, by law, by contract, and by statute, common law, statute, and contract, always represents his carrier. And so you're always going to run into that. So his master is always going to be Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Aetna, or whoever. It is not the customer. Number two, and when you're dealing with the HR, what you're always going to run into is the HR person does not want to go through any change or any enrollment, period. The number three thing you're going to run into with HR people is they're usually in the hip pocket of the broker. Sometimes they've been just outright bought and paid for. Sometimes it's just more insidious than that. So those are some of the obstacles you run into in terms of getting HR involved on this. The other comment I'd like to make is that as far as the red virus goes, the difference between this virus and any other virus that we've had is this thing was manufactured and genetically engineered by mankind for one purpose, and that was to kill. And it was released, I think, inadvertently because of some corruption over in Red China. And as a result, we're now bearing the consequences then. Where it's going to go to, you know, your guess is as good as mine, but I think it's going to be a major problem going forward. That combined with the stock market doing what it's done and the bubble finally bursting on that, which really had nothing to do with the red virus, is going to do one of two things. One, it's going to force employers to focus on healthcare costs instead of sitting in their boardroom saying, hey, we only got a 7% increase this year. We budgeted for that. Everything's great. I think that may have to change now very radically, which I think would help Pratter in their efforts to work forward. One question I do have, and that is, have you had any success working with third-party administrators that administer the claims for the self-insured? Because it would seem to me this would be a great weapon for them to use to help with the claim process. And secondly, do you do anything in the prescription area?
Well, thanks. I agree with all of your comments, and you're right. There's a difference between wanting or benefiting Pratter and needing it. And so as revenues shrink for companies over the next few months with the pandemic, let's manage the number two cost driver after salaries, which is healthcare. Or if we put it into a benefit perspective for ERISA fiduciary, for every $1 that goes into retirement, $2.75 goes into healthcare. It's not the white elephant in the room, it's a woolly mammoth. We do not do pharma yet to get to your point. We plan on doing so probably next year. A lot of our IT is developed, can be transferred to that. We're focusing on medical because there's nobody really taking care of the outpatient medical care the way we are. There are a lot of pharmacy solution companies out there. It's a more crowded space, but we think we have ways of displaying the information that becomes second grade user friendly that's still going to add value. And we want to empower employers. Secondly, yes, we have inked deals with about a half dozen health plan third-party administrators. We expect to get at least another half dozen this year. And, we don't need all of them, but my goodness, even 10 or 12, we're going to put a big dent in by the end of this year. Yes, so we would empower them. We can take their claims data and make all of the claims searchable so that when someone calls their customer service reps, they actually see the real price paid at that facility for a particular care item. That's customer service you're just not going to get right now with the carriers. And, you know, when they can give each of their employers a Prada report, private labeled, here's your cost drivers. We know their names. We know the providers that are good and bad for this. And we're managing your health plan. In the background, Prada is a health plan manager. You manage what we measure.
That's a good way to frame it. Mark, I see you've got your hand up.
Yeah. Second thing here is I'm going through your site and I'm trying to, you know, look into it. Obviously we need to sign up because I can't, I don't have a login ID and all that kind of stuff. Can you assist me with that?
Oh, we might be able to arrange something for you since you're kind enough to call in tonight. Generally speaking, right now, if I use the business acronyms, we have to do what we have to do to grow, to serve mm-hmm. everyone. That means go B2B before we go B2C because the CAC is too high. Or I have to say we have to go business to business to sign up swaths of members mm-hmm. instead of going individually business to consumer. Right. Because the customer acquisition cost is too high.
And slow.
So, yeah. So my heart truly does go out to everyone that gets a surprise medical bill or can't afford care or is stressed out over whether or not they can afford healthcare item or food on the table. And the individual people are who it's hurting the most. I actually believe that the larger companies, look, 80% of America is run on companies with 1 to 20 employees. That's the heart mm-hmm. of America. Mm-hmm. That's who Prada really wants to ultimately help. They're the ones that are hurt the most. I believe that those fewer, larger companies who are their minority, but they're larger, they're Fortune 1000. I believe they have a duty to fulfill for their community and society to help create affordable access to care. They own their own medical bills. All they got to do is turn them over to us and we'd share them with everybody, and we create capitalism, eliminate cronyism in a matter of 1 month.
So, Mark, you'll see we will have some things forthcoming you'll be excited about in the coming days and weeks, so that's really good. Charles, I see you've got your hand up.
Thanks, Jeff. And on that question about increasing demand for your cash disclosing product for recalcitrant self-insured employers, I made a video myself today for LinkedIn saying that the belt tightening this recession is going to impose on families and small business owners is going to force more buyers, whether employer or family, to consider more affordable health products. And, you know, Jeff and I and some others on this call are involved in a cash patient making paradigm shift that Forbes featured and the Ascend Conference awarded. So I think, as scary as this virus crisis is and as bad as it's going to get, and I do agree with Charles Ford's comments about its origin, which suggests it will get worse than people think. I think people are going to want to look at these more innovative cash-based systems because they're going to have to. This recession could be horrible. The government is closing businesses, forbidding gatherings. I think the innovators like yourself, Dr. Hennessy, and others are going to have a much better audience as people are trying to cut their budgets.
Well, I think the tightening of the financial belts is in our favor. Of course, I don't want this pandemic to be here at all. You're right. It's forcing people to look at things differently. For a family of four to be priced at $2,500 a month for a carrier plan, when the reality statistically is only 1 in 100 in a commercial working age gets admitted to the hospital, 99% don't. If you took 100 of the ones that do, you only have about three of them that will ever end up with a bill of $125,000 or more. So I can make a pretty good actuarial and common sense argument that if we had even a quarter of a million of hospitalization insurance for the catastrophe we can't afford, we cover ourselves for more than 9,900 of 10,000 scenarios per year. That's pretty good coverage. And then just pay cash for everything else. And by the way, that hospitalization policy for your family of four could be only $300 or $400 instead of $30,000. And if you end up spending $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 or $1,000 on care at a cash price, you're still pocketing an extra $27,000 or $8,000 a year.
Just like you said, everything's exactly opposite. So it is kind of bizarro how we've gotten to this point. Well, we're starting to draw to a close here a little bit this evening. So let's see if we got maybe a good last question here in store for you. And again, anybody want to just use that raise your hand icon on the edge of your screen? We'll let you squeeze in here. I will, in the release of this, put the information for the organization in the credits, and it will be up and demonstrating on Sunday. So you'll be able to start viewing this on any of those channels I showed and will show again. All right, I think we've got everybody kind of covered for the moment. So, Bill, I wanted to definitely tell you thanks for being here today. This was very good.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me again. Happy Prater Day.